rest of the story. As the county man drove up the tree-lined lane, he could see old Martha standing proudly on the farmhouse steps. It was as though she had known he was coming. He got out of the car and stood there a bit, mopping the back of his neck with his handkerchief. "Suppose you know why I'm here," he said at last. Old Martha did not answer. Instead, she nodded at the tree rows past which the county man had just driven. "See them big maples?" she asked. "My daddy and I planted them after the war between the states. They was no more than sprouts back then." The county man, momentarily forgetting his purpose, began to smile, lost in an old woman's vision of a day more than 70 years past. "I want you to know this ain't my doing," he said. Quietly, almost sweetly, she answered, "I know." The man reached inside his car, withdrew the foreclosure papers, and as he did, a flood of wistful memories washed over the 88-year-old woman on the farmhouse steps. The rainy afternoons, she had run to the hay barn as a little girl to lie in the loft, listening to the raindrops pelting the roof. The winters, when the hills and the fields were blanketed in unstained white and tree branches glistened in delicate sheaths of ice. In Martha's mind, the calendar pages turned, and the years fell away like golden autumn leaves. And there in the farmhouse, she pictured her son, a boy again, the eldest of her children, stroking the hair of his infant sister and singing to her as she slept in his arms. And there were all of her little ones playing in the meadow, growing, growing, and finally grown and gone. The county man's voice shattered Martha's reverie. "Your boy," he said, "your boy must be something he can do for you." "Away on business," Martha replied. She would not shame the family by relating the rest of the story. That her son, now 56, spent most all of his salary supporting relatives, including herself. Flat broke, he could not even afford a hotel room when he traveled, so he slept in his car, and the worst was upon him, for he might well be out of work soon. When Martha's boy returned home, he was powerful heartsick to learn that the farm had gone to auction. There was nothing left now but to rent a tiny yellow frame bungalow in Grandview and help his mother move there. Not long afterward, the old farm woman, climbing unfamiliar steps, fell and broke her leg. Her surprising recovery was little comfort to the son, who would have given her the world and could not even keep the old farm where she was born. As it turned out, he did not lose his job, as many had expected that year, 1940. In fact, one day only 6 years later, with the help of friends, he managed to buy back the old homestead on Blue Ridge, the family farm that Martha loved and longed for. It was the Republicans, he used to say, who had taken his mother's home away. And then in control of the county court, they had done it to spite him, had caught him when he was penniless and unable to fight back. But he fought back anyway. Feeding relations on both sides of the family and sleeping in his car, he won his desperate re-election campaign to the United States Senate in 1940. And in 5 years, upon the death of Franklin Roosevelt, Martha's son became president of the United States. Every history teacher knows that antipathy for the Republican Party was more than politics as usual for Democrat Harry Truman. Of course, you've now seen his elderly mother on the steps of her Missouri farmhouse with the eviction notice in her hands. So now you know the rest of the story.